Joining us on KMOJ is Minneapolis Chief of Police Brian O'Hara. And it's interesting that you're here. You know, there's a lot of, with the solar eclipse happening from one end of the country on the east side to the south in Dallas, Texas, there's a lot of law enforcement happening. Are you excited with the fact that you don't have to really be concerned with law enforcement because of the eclipse this morning?
Absolutely. I mean, there's plenty of other things that are a lot more pressing that we're worried about here for sure.
Our friends, I used to live in Dallas, Texas, and I know our friends are really excited about 400,000 new people coming in just to see the sun.
Wow.
Or not see it.
Wow.
He joins us this morning, Chief O'Hara does, and tell us about ShotSpotter technology. I know there are many times that we in our news department, we hear that police responding to shots being fired in a community, there's no one there really to hear it other than the equipment that you have. Talk about, first of all, the technology behind ShotSpotter.
Yeah, sure. So ShotSpotter is a technology that works based off of the sound waves that are caused by the sound of a gunshot.
Mm-hmm.
There's sensors that the ShotSpotter folks place on buildings in certain areas, and through a triangulation of the sensors, they're able to tell the sound of a gunshot and pinpoint virtually exactly where it is with about a rate of 97% accuracy. So it's very helpful because studies have shown, you know, that there's a whole lot of gunshots and gunfire that does not go reported to the police.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, people who hear the sound of shots, oftentimes it takes a minute or two before they can kind of think, well, gee, where did the, I'm over here, but it sounded like that was coming from somewhere over there kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when that gets reported to the police, it's not always necessarily accurate. So the real benefit of ShotSpotter is it alerts us immediately with the exact location of gunfire, which allows really emergency first aid to get to the scene minutes faster than without it if a person is shot.
How does the police department decide where the ShotSpotter technology is placed?
So it's been in place here well over 10 years. And it's important to remember that ShotSpotter is just a tool, right? I mean, mm-hmm. gun violence is a very, very complex issue. We know that in the 4th Precinct, the north side here in Minneapolis, the city, the community here suffers the brunt of it. About 40% consistently year after year of the city's gun violence and shooting victims happen here. So there's about 12% of the city's geography that's covered in ShotSpotter. It's not the entire north side. There's a spot on the south side as well, a smaller area. But it's based on where historically there's been a geographic concentration of shooting victims. So mm-hmm. year after year, we continuously see that the majority of people, over 50% of the people who are injured by gunfire are injured in one of these coverage areas.
I'm sure you've heard the conversation that from some communities of color that say that ShotSpotter does not save lives. What would you say?
Well, I think what we hear is that ShotSpotter doesn't necessarily reduce shootings, and that is true. Mm-hmm. That is accurate. But the real question is, does ShotSpotter save lives? And I think the answer is unequivocally yes. I think it is worth. It's very clear that because we have ShotSpotter, we're able to pinpoint locations, and we're able to get police and ambulances minutes faster to the location of a shooting victim. And, you know, while there's, you know, studies out there that say different things, this is, again, it's a complex, complicated issue. And I know that if we are able to get police there faster, and in this city, police that put tourniquets on people routinely to stop the bleeding, that put chest seals to help stop the bleeding to save people's lives, even if it's just one person, who is alive today because this technology got an ambulance to the scene faster, I think it's worth it.
Everyone, we're talking with Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara. And you mentioned, well, ShotSpotter, and it talked about violence. Where are we right now with regard to violence in our communities?
Well, you know, ever since 2020, you know, the communities here have suffered and just an outrageous increase in the amount of gun violence in the city. But thankfully, you know, over the last year and a half, it has been trending down. So We continue to trend down this year. We're below the last 3-4 years right now in shooting victims, and as well as in homicide victims as well. So that is all positive, but it's still far too much over what had been normal here in the past.
It's interesting that it's trending down, and that's happening even though your staff is not where you want it to be or where it should be at this point.
That is true. I mean, we have emerging newer challenges. So like here on the north side, take the last two or three year average, we are below the average of, prior to the pandemic as far as number of shooting victims. That's really, really positive.
Wow.
But there's other parts of the city that are suffering more than what they had been before the pandemic. So like parts of Uptown, parts of South Minneapolis. So it's very, very positive what is happening here in North Minneapolis. And I think that's because of all of the work being done in collaboration with community partners, with law enforcement partners, to really be as precise as possible and intentional about getting that down. But there's a whole lot of work to do as other problems, continue to pop up.
Can you talk about recruitment and that the numbers are down with your staff? How is recruitment coming? And you've got a new campaign underway that the city announced just a few days ago.
Yeah.
Have you seen any results yet, or is it too early?
So, prior to the campaign, we actually have started to see results in terms of, substantial increases in the number of leads that we have, young people that are interested in the various pathways to becoming a Minneapolis police officer. The problem is it takes a long time to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do to be more intentional about is we need to get the word out, particularly to, young kids in the city, that all of the opportunities that are available to you here, especially particularly if you're from the community, you want to be a part of, helping save lives, helping get policing right in this city. There's an unbelievable opportunity for folks who could literally change the course of some young people's lives here. We have the ability to hire kids right out of high school and give them a job, pay them a salary, as well as pay for their college. And then once college is over, they can come into the police academy. And I think that's something that we're trying to reach out and connect with young people in the city who love their community, who love the city, who want to be a part of something bigger than themselves and making the community better, and try and get more folks from the community to be a part of the police department.
What in the world kind of a job can a student get right out of high school with Minneapolis Police?
You can become a community service officer. You can work full-time. You can work part-time. And essentially, most of what you do will be going to college. And we will pay for your college on top of it. So particularly at a time, college is so expensive and a lot of young people are, moving away from going to college to try and do some other things. I think there's an opportunity where you can get not just a job, but a career where you can have a real, real impact in people's lives in your community, and have a career where you can get a pension, be able to make, good money over the long haul, take care of your family and loved ones. I think it's a real, real opportunity to do something meaningful for community, as well as, help put somebody on the right path.
Is this important? Is this a really good time, or is it a good time now with the recruitment? Does it present an opportunity to recruit individuals of color who look
Yes.
like the communities that they will be serving?
Absolutely. And, the police officers in the city, the residents of the city have been through so much over the last few years. And, it's no secret we're 40% down in our staffing. And that's a tremendous burden for the officers who remain, who are performing so well, while crime has been at a level that we have not seen in a long time. That being said, this is a tremendous opportunity to bring people from the community in who do not remember what it was like to work here, during the bad times, and who can be a part of, kind of a new police department, a new way of moving forward.
When is that first recruitment class scheduled to stand up?
There's several during the course of the year based on where folks are. And so like if you're a community service officer, there's one date. If you're someone who has a college degree already, there's a different date for that. If you're someone who's currently in college, there's another date for that. So there's various pathways that are ongoing.
Right.
And the applications are open just depending on where folks are in their lives.
Our community office told me not to ask this question, but I just have to because
yes.
it is self-serving, but I just have to ask, where does KMOJ fall into the recruitment plans for the city of Minneapolis? Are we a part of it, or does it make sense to have KMOJ as part of this?
I love KMOJ. KMOJ, you know, community radio here is absolutely essential. I love coming here. And we absolutely need your help to just get the word out that these opportunities are there and that we are specifically looking for young people from our community, young men, young women to be a part of this. So, yeah, we absolutely need KMOJ to help us get the word out, to let young people know, hey, look, here's a chance for you to get a job, a career, get a salary while you're going to school. We'll pay for your college and really get something that could help, help change the course of people's lives.
We're just, I'm told we're out of time, and I'm getting all kind of text over here from people who are listening to you. What would be your final thought? I know the Lyft drivers and all the rest of it pose a particular kind of issue. Mm-hmm. How does law enforcement find its way with regard to the conversations happening yet today with Uber and Lyft possibly leaving the city of Minneapolis?
So obviously we're not part of the political process with that, but I personally am hopeful. I believe everyone on all sides of this issue have good intentions. I think a lot of times here people want to assume bad intentions if they just don't agree with folks. So I do believe everyone involved here wants to find a way to get this right. I am concerned, though, if there is a gap. And there is a need for people with disabilities, or other folks who depend on Lyft or Uber have no other way. We know oftentimes where that winds up, and that winds up in some way with people calling 911. Mm-hmm. And if there is no other option available, we know what department that falls on. So
well, for everything,
that's
there.
Yeah. I mean, that's certainly a concern, as well as the public safety issue. There's a whole lot of bars, you know, especially downtown and around the city, mm-hmm. and a lot of folks who have too much to drink will rely on that service. And without having, you know, taxis like you know cities used to have years ago, that's also a concern. Like there could be tragedy that results, you know, if there is a gap that is unable to be filled. So those are things specific that we worry about, you know, for public safety side.
We've covered a lot of ground, but I'll ask, is there anything that you'd like to share with us that you wish that Freddie would ask that did not happen this morning?
No, I mean, I just, you know, I'm a big fan. I listen every morning, and it's always good to be here. I appreciate you.
He's Chief Brian O'Hare, Minneapolis Police Chief, and sharing some time with us live on KMOJ. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Freddie.